content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in,
that's your problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. We're super excited to be here today and to be with share at least 45 minutes with you. It's really it's such a blessing to us that we get to do something that we love, and we love sharing the truth. We love exposing the truth. We love talking about anything spiritual. The crazier the topic is, even better. And today we have a great guest. You guys are going to love her. And you very well may know her from Twitter, certainly social media. She has a huge social media following. And her name is Alexandra Bruce, and Jay's going to talk about her in just a second. But you may know her from Forbidden Knowledge TV. She covers so much territory, and we are so blessed to have just a little piece of her information and her knowledge and her time today. So we're going to take every second of it and just really dive into her topic. And she has a lot to talk about. We have a lot to cover today. So I don't want to waste any more time. I just want to quickly thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for watching and sharing and commenting and all that great stuff. And also joining, we do have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/spirituallyraw. And we greatly appreciate connecting with everybody there too.
Yep, absolutely. And don't forget, while you're on there, subscribe if when you're watching this on the channel, and make sure you do go to the Facebook page, which you'll see a link there, because you know how YouTube is, right? So they pull stuff down. And so if you want to stay connected with what's going on and any new episodes, make sure you do subscribe to both of them and turn that notification on. So when we do put up a message, you will be able to get it. And I am going to now talk about our featured guest, Alexandra Bruce. So Alexandra Bruce, she's the founder and publisher of Forbidden Knowledge, a website and daily newsletter since 2010. She has also been deplatformed, blacklisted. Her movie was deplatformed by Amazon for violating Big Pharma. Alexandra believes these retaliations, whether conducted by artificial intelligence algorithms or performed by employees at big tech corporations, stem from the overall campaign to disenfranchise Americans in support of the America First anti-globalist platform of President Trump. Alexandra, a little bit more about her, and we're going to bring her on. As you can see, she's already there with us. Alexandra graduated from Brown University and worked in independent films and TVs for 3 decades. She's also the author of 6 nonfiction books, and you can find her at ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net and Twitter at FKTVIS. So, Alexandra, welcome. How are you?
Welcome. Thank you for being with us today. Yeah. And sharing your time, your energy, and all of your valuable knowledge. We greatly appreciate it.
So your movie got deplatformed from Amazon, right?
Yeah, it was shocking. And I had already been deplatformed twice earlier in the year by my mass email services.
When you say deplatformed, just for our audience's sake, can you kind of describe that process? Is it literally like they kind of just pull it down where nobody can access it? Or how does that...
Well, with MailChimp, a company that I was paying, I think, $800 a month to at the time. So I'm just a normal customer, and I'm paying, you know, a nice chunk of change monthly to these people. And from one day to the next, you know, they closed my account. Mm. I was allowed to back up, you know, not lose any people on this, because this is now the third time that this has happened to me in 10 years. And it's because somebody calls them and says, get rid of this person, basically.
Yeah. That's crazy. And you backed up, or at that time, had everything already backed up on your website?
That's different. The mass email thing is, you know, where I send my newsletter that drives traffic.
My
subscribers to a link on my, you know, a new web page on my website every day. Mm-hmm. And that's how you drive traffic to the website, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's, you know, outrageous. And this this began happening to me in 2015. So now everybody knows what this is, right? Mm-hmm. It happens to the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The censorship and the deplatform, you know, Alex Jones, it happened to him. But it started happening to me in 2015. And when I would tell people about it, nobody, first of all, if you're not in online publishing, you don't really understand what people are even talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was demonetized on AdSense, basically 95%.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that sucks because they can just do that. So you can build up this whole network, put money into marketing it, put doing what you got to do as a respectable business online. I mean, you're driving the American dream, and then just, gosh, that's so frustrating.
Right, and then they would talk to me. And at that point, because I was making a nice amount of money every month, you know, they would engage me and try to figure out ways to make more money. And then from one day to the next, it was like, boom, and then nobody's talking to me. Nobody's at that department anymore. And it's just like, you know, Kafka-esque. Absolutely Kafka-esque.
Mm-hmm. That sucks. That really does.
So
precursor to what's happening now. It's like this global coup d'etat that we're having right now.
Yeah.
You know? And tech is on board with it, or they have no choice. You know?
Yeah. So why do you think, you know, talking about the New World Order and censorship and everything that's going on today. Why do you think the Democrats and the mainstream media, all the major politicians, the mayor, the governors, why are they supporting Black Lives Matter?
Well, I think a big part of it is because of Trump. They're just trying to create enough havoc so that it's like, look, he doesn't have control of the country. Everyone hates him. They're rioting because of him.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's not really about him. It's actually something that's been planned or, you know, in the works. It's to get rid of him, definitely. And they want to get rid of him because he's against the globalist agenda, period. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really terrifying, like this, the swiftness, you know, and the ability to do what they did with this COVID corona hoax, you know, it's terrifying. You know, we're just, we're like lambs to the slaughter over here.
The global reset, there's a lot of different opinions on it, a lot of different viewpoints. What's your viewpoint on it?
Okay, well, the World Economic Forum, okay, which is the meeting in Davos every year,
mm-hmm.
where all the billionaires go, and you see that basically anyone of consequence in the world, and that means all the big tech people, all the bank CEOs, all the big corporate CEOs, they're all controlled. The only reason that they're allowed to be there is because they're controlled. And a big way that they're controlled is through blackmail or bribery. And then, you know, at the very highest levels and very, very pivotal positions, it's with pedophilia blackmail. And this is what the Jeffrey Epstein thing is really all about, and others like him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are, you know, compromise operations, you know, where you even have a prince of the United Kingdom who's in trouble now.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, so this is how they control everyone. And it sounds really simplistic, but when you're dealing with the biggest monopoly on the planet that has designs on controlling the entire planet, it is that simple.
When you say designs on controlling the entire planet, are you referring to like the Agenda 21?
Yes, absolutely.
And
everything's going to be on the blockchain. Everything is going to be on a blockchain that they can, you know, it's exactly like, I don't know if you ever saw from the Aaron Russo film where he met with
Rockefeller.
Yeah, right. Rockefeller. Mm-hmm. You know how they can turn your chip off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what digital currency enables them to do. You know, if everything's tokenized and everything's digitally controlled, they just turn your chip off, quote unquote. You know,
where's this chip going to be located? Is it going to be like a chip in you, like a mark of the beast kind of chip kind of thing? Well, or is it going to be a...
Apparently some of these vaccines that they're talking about are exactly that. They're putting nano things, you know, radio frequency ID chips that are on a nano scale that are tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And that broadcasts, you know, your information to a receiver.
Will this happen if Trump successfully gets reelected?
I think he will do everything he can to stop that. That's what he represents, is stopping that. So people need to get over the hairdo and the way he talks. You know, I think he's like on the autistic spectrum, frankly. You know, he has a very weird way of speaking, but he's
right.
He's not stupid.
No.
Really not stupid.
Right.
That's a weird way of speaking. I think it's like a weird, like an autistic thing.
It could very well be. The Agenda 21, they have a date in mind. Was it originally 2030, and did it get moved to 2050, or has it always been 2050?
Well, it's always been 2050. I mean,
it's always been 2050.
It's a very communist thing. They make plans, and we'll have this by then. You know, so there are, by 2025, we're going to be here, and by 2030, it's going to be there. But clearly, all of these new, these justice Democrats like AOC and her squad and all those people, you know, who are all Soros developed and financed, right?
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
You know, they were clearly read in to Agenda 2030, which is what the Green New Deal is. They give it all these different names. It's all the same thing, you know, and it's a new way. It's to get out of the petroleum and the petrodollar paradigm, which is what we, the United States, have been the beneficiaries of, you know, for the past 50 years.
You made a really, really good point, and I hadn't thought about it, that the Green New Deal is Agenda 21 with a different code on it.
Right.
It's all so it's more palatable for people to digest or buy into?
Well, because it sounds sort of almost like FDR, you know, American, but green, oh, fabulous, everything that's green is great. Everyone loves nature, right?
Right.
So it's like a nice, instead of calling it Agenda 2030, calling it the Green New Deal, you know, it just sounds great.
So with the Democrats are putting these, they're moving these plays in here right now to be able to shake up everything, what they're doing with the COVID, what they're doing with everything.
Yes.
What do you think that actually shakes out of this? I know there's some mention here about no longer having the 50 states and maybe just different regions. Is that their ultimate goal, or is that more of a, that's going to be, hey, this is how Trump handles it, or how does that play out?
The Democrats, they have their own, you know, their own agenda. I don't know how far read in or if they fully know that they're useful idiots. I don't know if these Black Lives Matter rioters understand that they're playing into the hands of the globalists 100% in what they're doing, that what they are delivering us to the New World Order with what they're doing. I don't think that they know that. So I don't know that the Justice Democrats entirely understand what they're doing. But it's very clear that that's what they are doing, whether they're in on it or not. You know, they just think they're going to bring in a socialist utopia and save the planet from climate change,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a completely fraudulent thing. But you can just see it. It's so clear when you understand who the players are. Like right now you have Al Gore, like one of the headlines out there is that he's, you know, the global reset, which is completely something that was came out of this World Economic Forum think tank that's in Switzerland, that's related to the UN and to the Bank for International Settlements and the people who control the emission of currency in the world,
mm-hmm.
central banking system.
Mm-hmm.
Couple things with you. I want to, so how do you get, when you're talking to people about this and you know, you're out there and you're all over social media, mm-hmm. how are you getting your people that you're talking to prepared for what's coming? Number one, and then number two, is there really anything you can need to do about it?
This is where I'm at, is that the whole thing is to raise awareness and to support Trump, because it's the only thing standing between that and us right now. And get over it, you know, like get over your TDS. I got over my TDS. You know, I've been living in New York most of my life. I didn't like this guy. I love him now. I think he's the greatest president we've ever had. We've never had a hero who cared about us and was trying to help stop this.
What was your turning point when you, what did Trump do that made you go from, you think he's like a bag of whatever, to, you know what, there's something really here with this guy?
Well, I got over it back in 2015. You know, some of the things he was saying that were against the UN and against globalization, I was like, whoa, this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it hadn't all become, it's been such an educational process for all of us to have this guy president, because all this stuff that was kind of unconscious and just sort of happening, mm-hmm. we weren't aware of it. It was like creeping up, you know, behind us without our, really our, you know, there was just, it was an inexorable thing. Like with Obama, you vote for him, you think, oh, hope and change. It's like, no, he's just as bad as W, you know? Mm-hmm. He bombed more people, if, you know, if that's even possible. He bombed mm-hmm. and killed more people. It's like, how is this, you know, how is this possible? I voted for Obama. My stepfather was a precinct captain in his campaign. And now we can't really talk about politics anymore.
What's your, being in New York, what's your take on, what's the temperature gauge on like Governor Cuomo there? I mean, how are people reacting to him? Are they, as a whole, would you say?
I'm not in the city because that's a big difference. I'm out at the beach. And it's so much less horrible here than it is in the city where I live. You know,
most good.
You know, my cousins have lost it. They're completely, they don't get it. They think it's all Trump's fault, mm-hmm. right? They think it's all Trump's fault. Mm-hmm. It's not Trump's fault. It's Cuomo's fault. It's the globalist's fault. It's that he's completely owned and controlled. He's a total criminal. He's blackmailed. He has no choice. He murdered thousands of people because they told him to do it.
Does it have to do with a lot of like them really fighting this hard back because of the pedophile rings that are going on that they're trying to protect and also not to, you know, keep it under the radar kind of thing?
If he hadn't stopped all their ability to make money back, I think that was like the first thing he did. I think mm-hmm. It was his first executive order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
To block assets of human traffickers. Mm-hmm. And that got them rip snorting mad, and they've been fuming ever since.
They've been on a tear ever since.
Is that where a lot of the funding's coming from that they were giving out for the businesses and stimulus checks through these seized assets?
I don't know about that. That's an interesting idea. I have no idea. I like that.
All right, we'll throw it out there. See if that one sticks. Whoever's watching this one, right?
So, where do you think we're going with the whole COVID? Where is it going from here?
Well, I think the more people wake up will affect what happens. Mm-hmm. Because it's just amazing how fake everything they do is.
It is, isn't it?
It's like, why don't you come up with something that's more real, that's like harder to dispute, you know? Mm-hmm. So
we were just on a previous episode talking about, you know, we were just away and everything. We live in a small town too. And it's just, you know, don't really get affected by it all. But we went away to the city on a little vacation and everything, they're wearing masks on the street. I mean, businesses are getting fined for having people come in without masks. And, people are now getting fined for not wearing their mask.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happens here. You know, you have to wear a mask. I mean, I'm 80 miles away from the city. So, you know, and it's basically, it's full of city people. I mean, and they wear the gloves. Here in New York, people wear gloves too, the rubber gloves with the mask.
Oh my gosh. I just can't even wrap my mind around that.
Like that, even just looking at that makes me want to hyperventilate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, just,
funny no. because I've, you know, it's been maybe 2 months of this and now I got used to it. But I must say that I am staying away from it as much as possible. I just kind of go shopping for food. Mm-hmm. Back. I don't have to commute. I don't really have to be in the real world. So I'm very insulated from this reality.
Well, that's good. Do you think that it's become a habit?
What? Oh, having a mask on?
Yes. Do you think that we've crossed that line of now where people, it's indoctrinated in their heads where it's now become a habit and they feel like, you know what, before I go out of the house, I got, just like I have to put my shirt on, I have to put my mask on.
Well, you know, when you're denied entrance to a business enough times, it'll start to become a habit. Mm-hmm. You want to get in there and buy something, right? So I think for a lot of people, the more terrified and programmed you are, you're just going to be, I mean, it's still, you know, I forget, and I don't really have a real mask. I have this scarf that I got in China. It's mm-hmm. one of Chinese characters, and that's what I wear. But when I was in China, a lot of people were wearing masks and there wasn't even a thing, you know, because the air quality is so awful.
Were you recently in China?
I was, well, fairly. It was 2011. I was
there. Oh, okay. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Do you think some of the mask has anything to do with also people's, like, maybe a stance that they're taking, kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is this is, I believe in what's going on. So it's not so much about their health. It's more along the lines of like, look at me, I'm part of this movement.
Well, that may be true in any other state that is not New York, but this is where the epidemic, the epicenter.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the map of where the cases are, it's really New York. So it's like, it's not political. You just have to do it or you won't get in where you want to go or, you know, can't get on the subway, et cetera.
Yeah.
Maybe in other places, yeah. It's just like, I believe, you know, it's like they're praying to the Church of COVID. Sure.
Right.
Right.
That's good, the Church of COVID. Yeah, they are.
That is so true.
Yeah.
So Bill Gates, obviously, is probably like one of the most hated people right now.
Yeah.
Where do you think his vaccine is going?
Well, I mean, he said that the vaccine thing, it's a financial play. But for all of these people, okay, all these people who are really controlled by the committee, all right, the people at the very, very top of this system,
mm-hmm.
They have to give back. Remember Michael Bloomberg? He spent $1 billion for like a 6-week attempt to
a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a member, right? He's, you know, like a lower level kind of guy, but he is worth $65 billion. They're like, you're gonna kick some money in, you know, and you're gonna try to take this away from Trump, and it didn't work. So he's like, whoa, it's like the vanishing Bloomberg. It's kind of amazing. Like,
yeah.
For being a presidential candidate, it's just completely like not even on planet Earth anymore.
I mean, if they win the House again, the Republicans win the House and the Senate and this, and they don't screw it up like the last time
they give it a shot.
You know what I mean? I mean, then things could change pretty fast if they do. Do you feel like all Republicans are on board, or you think this still has to do inherently just a deep, nasty swamp thing with politicians across the board?
Well, a lot of them are still never Trumpers, like people like Marco Rubio, even though, you know, he's a talented guy, but again, he's compromised, he's controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's inherently anti-Trump for any reason other than that he's got a gun to his head.
Mm. Right?
So, and that's the case with a lot of people still, but apparently somebody put up a very interesting graphic on Twitter that said, you can tell who the swamp Republicans are by who voted to, who approved of John Brennan. Nomination for CIA. But that's a very good thumb, you know, rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Mitt Romney, what do you think, what's going down with him? I mean, he's out there. He might as well be a Democrat, right? I mean, mm-hmm.
He's obviously a creature. Well, apparently he's part of the Bush cabal. And yeah. That's very interesting. So I have a subscriber who's become a friend over the past 5 years, who I speak to pretty frequently. And he was Marines Special Operations captain who did all kinds of nasty things. And then he went into the financial business and was in currency trading and bonds. And, you know, while working at these, you know, New York firms or whatever, he ended up going to Switzerland. And with his sort of special ops and black ops situational awareness, he began to understand. He actually met some of these people who are at the very top and understand how the entire financial system and control system works. And so what he then discovered was that the Bush, Clinton, Obama cabal are people who were actually trying to usurp the right to issue currency, trying to take that away from the original globalists in Basel, Switzerland. And with the switch over to China, between the United States and China as centers of power and centers of who has the reserve currency, the global reserve currency, they were gonna be in control of that, the right to issue, I guess, the yuan or something. And so that's like a splinter group of the globalists is the Clinton posse. And I guess it could be said that Trump represents the Basel people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going away. They've been in power for, you know, 1,000+ years.
Mm-hmm.
And they are richer than anyone and have all the technology and things that we don't have that can keep them on top.
Do you think Trump's presidency has been planned for much longer than anyone will ever really know?
Yes. Yeah, I think Patriots. These Patriots are like, no, we don't. We're not going to go for this. Or at least give it a shot of not going for this. I mean, it doesn't look good right now at all. Mm-hmm. But who knows? You know, it could.
Just fight the good fight, right?
So who do you think's going, what do you think's going to happen at the next election? I mean, you can't possibly, nobody can, I mean, seriously, if anybody thinks Joe Biden, I mean, he can't even complete a sentence. So who possibly, what's your thoughts on what the next election's going to look like?
Well, a lot of people think that either Michelle Obama or Hillary are going to swoop in as vice president and then he'll be incapacitated rapidly. But like, it's shocking that they have him up there. He is such an embodiment of the DNC. He's like one of the most corrupt human beings. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's, you know, only maybe to be outdone by Hillary, right? So.
I mean, that would seal the deal for Trump if he bought on Hillary, I would imagine. You know, if you bought Biden and Hillary on the same ticket. I mean, you know, maybe Michelle Obama might cause him a bit of a problem, right?
I don't think so anymore, because people are starting to realize who he is. So I think, you know what I mean? So it's much different than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, a lot's happened, not even so much in the past 4 years, and really in the past 12 months. You know, people that were like, "You, that's just so not true." They're like, well, okay, I see it now. You know, so I think people are realizing they've been deceived. And they've been lied to. So I don't think she would be a threat.
Is that your take also?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think that, you know, the digital soldiers of the world will put enough blown up images of certain nut sacks and what time it is.
My Lord.
Exactly. I mean, you can only deny for so long, and then something's going to hit you over the head, and, you know, you're just going to have to come to terms with the people.
So there's talk, and this is a little confusing. I want to wrap my head around this one, Alexandra, is that there's talks about another wave of stimulus money coming out to people, right? Who's that coming from? Is that the Democrats trying to set people up for socialism, or is that Trump trying to say, you know, here, let me help you out while we're going through this?
Yeah, well, I think it's the latter, but yeah, it is. It's both. You know, it's like, why vote for Bernie? I mean, you have socialism under Trump, you know? You already have it. So, I mean, it could be that socialism is inexorable. I mean, we can try to fight, but, this is kind of a big... It's not just happening here. Like, I'm half Brazilian, and I'm seeing what's happening in Brazil. Mm-hmm. It's a mirror. It's the exact same thing. Mm. The governors and the mayors are being insane with the COVID lockdown, and the president's like tearing his hair up. They're trying to impeach him with the corrupt justice department that he's still cleaning the swamp of Brazil. You know, there's like 300 former congressmen that are being prosecuted right now.
In Brazil?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's Brazil. It started happening there before it happened here. Like, I think that they compare notes. Brazil's often a place where they try things out first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the biggest field office of the CIA is in Rio. Like, why Rio? Like, Rio's not the capital.
Yeah.
It's not even the biggest city. What?
Do you think we're positioned now for a one world government, new world order thing? I mean, are we, do you see us clearly going in that direction?
Well, if once the currency thing gets completely nailed down, that'll really be what you need to do that.
Just a one world currency kind of system?
Yeah. Digital currency.
And it is going to be digital then, so it won't be like backed by anything?
It might be backed by physical assets. It might be, see how they're putting everything on the blockchain, everything, like literally every tree, you know, every blade of grass practically.
Yeah.
You know, these are the natural resources of the earth, and we have to shepherd them and steward them. And maybe the currency will be based on that. That's a guess. Nobody has ever said this to me. I'm just guessing this.
Yeah, it's all good. The getting back to the United States, moving us out of globally for a second, is that do you think that we're gonna inevitably get separated into different regions?
If the plan works, then yeah, that it would get rid of borders as we know them. It would become these mega cities or regions, mega regions, that would be, you know, like in the Southeast, it would be the Piedmont and in the Northeast, and then you have like Chicago to Pittsburgh and something. And
that's like where you live. So that's like kind of like your country of, like you get your citizenship for that.
They don't want people to be flying anymore. They don't want people to have that freedom anymore to fly. That was a big part of the Green New Deal, was to get rid of the airline industry.
Oh, right.
Look what's happened to it. Look what COVID did to it.
Right.
And the cruise ships.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't finish answering a question about the money. What's interesting is what the relationship between the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve Bank, and how the Fed was sort of rolled into the Treasury, because the Fed was a private corporation owned by these people in Europe, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's part of the Treasury. My friend says, it's not part of the U.S. government. Don't even kid yourself. Basically, what that was and what the COVID stimulus did was, in the last time, was it enabled Trump to take out a $6 trillion loan interest-free. That's what that did. So that you're not paying interest on it, like by rolling it into the Treasury like that.
Mm-hmm.
And running the loans and the things through BlackRock, which is a Rothschild, you know, firm.
Is he running the Treasury now, Trump?
Yeah, through Mnuchin. I think Mnuchin and Trump are a team. I don't think that Mnuchin is, there's any, I think he's on his side. Yeah, they're on each other's side, for sure.
Mm.
What about Flynn? Do you think he's going to circle back into the administration after all this?
I would love nothing more. And they're doing everything they can to prevent that. Has his gag order been lifted? Do you know? I haven't been on Twitter all day.
No, I just know that the other day.
I didn't see that. Release,
but no, I haven't seen anything or heard anything
last
on that.
Night, I know that he had a whole day. Judge Sullivan had a whole day to do what he was told to do, and he didn't do it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And what they would like to do is to prevent, you know, to keep his gag order going at least through the election. Because can you imagine Flynn getting up? Flynn, who was a Democrat. He was a Democrat when all of this happened, okay? Flynn getting up there and stumping for Trump and, you know, like dropping some.
Oh, yeah. He crossed to the dark
Moabs.
Side then, right?
Yeah.
Right? Dropping some Moabs during the
Trump my Lord.
Rallies. That would be incredible, right?
Yes.
I want to get to our audience, just to get to know you just really briefly. Can you tell us what prompted you to really get out there with this messaging, and really what was your trigger to say, okay, it's one thing thinking it, then there's another thing going like, okay, look, I'm out there now. I'm putting myself out there with this. What's been your trigger?
Well, you like being censored is what, you know, I was a registered Democrat back in 2015 when all this began with me, and I didn't really understand what was happening until maybe 2017, like, and I realized, oh, even though I'm a Democrat and I'm liberal, I'm not far left enough. You know, and that's why this is happening to me, and I've voiced, you know, support for Trump, and that's why this is happening,
and that's why you're sharing.
Yeah, because it's like I wasn't, you know, I was to the right of Mao, okay? That's what happened, and that's absurd. This is supposed to be America.
Mm-hmm.
For how much longer, I don't know. But
yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So there is hope for other Democrats.
I don't know.
For other liberals.
Some people, I think the problem is, and this is what, you know, the what's they call it, that thing when it's two things that are.
Diametrically opposed like that.
Yeah.
Like right. They're yin and yang.
Basically, when you can't, it's an assault on your identity and who you think you are in relationship to the truth. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And that's the big problem, is people have this idea that I'm a Democrat and I hate Trump, and that's who I am, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's like your identity.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like. It's a fight or flight thing.
Right. Yeah. That's so true. It actually becomes people's identity that I hate him.
Right.
So at the time, though, were you open spiritually, or was that something that was new to you as well?
I have always been open spiritually, but actually I gained an appreciation for Christianity that I'd never had before.
What brought that on?
Actually, it was one of my subscribers really wanted to convert me. And so I opened myself up to it, and it was fascinating. And so, you know, I'm open to, like, I have, like, my own view, and I wouldn't call myself a fundamentalist Christian by any stretch. Yeah. But I'm kind of closed off to it. And I'll just go back further a little bit to say that my Brazilian grandmother was a communist, okay? So my mother was raised with a communist mother, and so I grew up with a lot of... They both sounded like Antifa people. I sounded like an Antifa person. Okay. I directed rap videos for a decade.
I saw that.
So, you know, I used to, all this stuff, like I was totally there 100%. I completely understand this mindset because that is how I was raised. But I began to realize that this victim mentality and always pointing out and never taking responsibility for your own being, your own beingness, is just
it's a
proposition.
So you did a lot of soul searching.
Yes.
And you came to the realization that this is just not for me, and you were open to...
Well, I began going through all of this, the deplatforming and everything. It's been really rough on me, really rough, because nobody knows what you're talking about. They think you're just crazy, right?
Yeah.
And now
for sure,
everyone, it's like, oh, maybe that's illegal. They're talking about executive orders now. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're producing legislation about what she was talking about. Oh, maybe, you know, maybe she's not crazy.
Right, exactly.
Nobody knew what I was talking about. I just sounded like a
lunatic.
Yeah.
But it sounds so normal when you say it. You know, I guess who's listening in. So
That's great.
Alexander Bruce, it's really been great to talk to you today. Thank you very, very much. And can you share with our audience and let everybody know how they can connect with you, find out more about you, follow you, just kind of really get up to speed with what's going on in your world?
Sure. The best way, I have a free newsletter that goes out once a day. It's, the website is forbiddenknowledgetv.net. And there's a subscription form on pretty much every page, but there is on the navigation bar, you can see subscribe and just go right to the page that's dedicated to signing up. That's the best way. And, you know, I'm on Twitter at FKTVIS. I am on Facebook at Forbidden Knowledge TV and also at Alexander Bruce. And I don't really do the other ones. I signed up for Parler, but that is really a crappy platform. Still.
What was that?
It's not working. It's
just, yeah. I want to encourage everybody to join your newsletter because it will open your eyes, and it's so well-rounded and you cover so many topics. You're a lot like us in the aspect of, you're really just delivering the information. You're not so much saying it's this way or the other way. You're just getting the information out there and letting the reader or the listener or the watcher make their own determination.
Yeah. I don't inject my opinion very often. I mean, sometimes a little bit, but
we all do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have these shows, right?
There's no such thing as really being objective. You always have a point of view.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I wouldn't be writing anything in support of Trump if I, you know, I mean, when the entire planet and the mainstream media is against him. I mean,
no, right.
Man, that's for sure. That's for sure.
But I do, you know, I try. I mean, the site used to be, it was a science blog when it started out, but it was like, the more I got censored and stuff, the more it really became about, you know, this war that we're in right now, this global big pharma coup d'etat. You know, big pharma is a big part of the system.
Mm-hmm. Well, before you love and leave us with you, I want to ask you this while we're on this, but with your faith that you found here in Christianity, do you feel like this is a spiritual mission for you to take on?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is your power calling on you.
You know, it does feel dangerous sometimes, and like if the other side wins, they're gonna turn my chip off, or they're gonna come round us up and put us in the, you know, FEMA camps or something. You know, that's what they did in China. This is where we're heading. We're heading to communist China style governance.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Fascinating.
And so it's like, you know what? We all die. If you know, if this thing kills me, at least I'll be dying doing something good.
Yeah. And you've got a lot of people that are gonna check you out too. You know what I mean? So you're able to get your name out there, right? That's all good. That's all good. So check her out, everybody. Alexandra Bruce. It's really great again having you on her. Much love to you and a lot of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Oh, you got it. Likewise. Take care. She is informative.
Yes, I told you. I wasn't kidding.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. Wow.
Well, I hope you all loved Alexandra Bruce as much as we did. And make sure to check her out. Join her newsletter. Join her. Connect with her on Twitter. And you're going to love her website. There's so much information. It's like an endless amount of information. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.